The Book of Disquiet isn't just a book, it's an experience of consciousness itself. Discovered among Fernando Pessoa's effects after his death in 1935, this collection of fragments offers no plot, no character development, no resolution. Instead, it presents the intimate journal of Bernardo Fuarez, a humble assistant bookkeeper in Lisbon who transforms the mundane into the metaphysical. Through his eyes, we experience the profound tedium of existence, the impossibility of authentic connection, and the strange comfort found in acknowledging life's ultimate meaninglessness. What makes this work extraordinary is how it elevates failure to an art form. Suarez, who never rises in the world, who produces nothing of conventional value, nonetheless creates something of extraordinary beauty through his attentiveness to his own consciousness. In an age obsessed with productivity, his vision offers a radical alternative. Perhaps the richest life is one of contemplation rather than achievement. Lisbon emerges as a living character in this work, not merely backdrop, but an extension of Suarez's consciousness. The city's winding streets, river views, and changing light provide physical correlatives to his mental wanderings. "What a morning this is," he writes, "that makes me feel the entire city personally." The Tagus River symbolizes the flow of time and consciousness, while ships represent dreams unrealized and lives unlived. The downtown streets, especially the Rua dos Douradores, where Suarez works and lives, embody the intersection of mundane commerce and transcendent awareness. Weather, particularly rain, mirrors Suarez's emotional states with precision. "Rain patters against the window panes," he writes, "and I know that my heart is pattering just the same." What emerges is a portrait of urban solitude that feels startlingly contemporary. Though written nearly a century ago, his experience of isolation amid crowds resonates powerfully. "I'm two. I'm both the one watching the street with all my senses and the one who watches myself watching the street with all my thinking." At the heart of Disquiet lies a profound paradox. The self-awareness that allows Suarez to perceive life's beauty also prevents him from fully experiencing it. "To understand," he laments, "I destroyed myself." His consciousness becomes a maze of mirrors, each reflection distancing him from authentic experience while heightening his awareness of this separation. He sees himself seeing, thinks about thinking, creating an infinite regression that divorces him from immediate reality. This hyper-awareness breeds existential paralysis. Thinking is destroying. Every thought is a work of demolition. Trapped in the prison of myself, even simple interactions become complex philosophical problems. Yet this limitation becomes his strength. Through meticulous attention to consciousness itself, he achieves insights denied to those caught in life's rush. His detachment allows him to observe with remarkable precision, finding in ordinary moments, rain on window panes, sunlight on cobblestones, morning light through office windows, portals to deeper understanding. "I'm an office employee who dreams of rainbows," Suarez confesses, capturing the tension between his mundane job and rich interior life. Throughout the book, he develops an aesthetics of inaction, transforming passive observation into an art form. Rather than lamenting his inability to live fully, he reframes this limitation as a conscious choice against the tyranny of action. "To act is to rest," he paradoxically declares, suggesting true engagement might require stillness. By refusing action, he preserves possibilities that would be corrupted by realization. "Inaction consoles for everything. To imagine is everything, provided that it doesn't tend toward action." Suarez elevates his paralysis into a negative capability, finding in his refusal to participate a deeper engagement with existence. This contemplative stance transforms tedium into a philosophical lens. Tedium is not the disease of being bored because there's nothing to do, but the more serious disease of feeling that there's nothing worth doing. This disenchantment becomes beautiful in its intensity, elevated from an emotional state to a way of seeing that reveals truths invisible to those caught in the rush of living. Disquiet relentlessly explores the impossibility of genuine human connection. Soraz observes others with anthropological curiosity while maintaining an unbridgeable distance, watching life from behind the window of my being. This detachment shapes both his philosophy and daily routines, where he avoids meaningful interaction while paradoxically documenting his need for it. Love appears as an illusion he both yearns for and intellectually rejects. "We never love anyone," he writes. "What we love is the idea we have of someone. It's our own concept, our own selves that we love." Yet beneath this philosophical armor lies profound loneliness. In vulnerable moments, Soraz admits, "No one has truly understood me, and it would be unbearable if they did." These glimpses of raw emotion punctuate the text like wounds, revealing the human cost of his stance. His relentless self-analysis creates a cycle of isolation. The more he understands about human nature, the less able he becomes to participate in it naturally. Pessoa's approach to identity is revolutionary. Through Soares, he explores how consciousness fragments and reforms, suggesting personality might be a fiction we create daily. "I'm the empty stage where various actors perform various plays," Soares writes. This radical destabilization of identity precedes postmodern theory by decades, anticipating ideas later developed by thinkers like Foucault and Derrida. Pessoa embodied this multiplicity through his heteronyms, distinct literary personalities with their own biographies, writing styles, and philosophical perspectives. Unlike mere pseudonyms, his heteronyms were fully developed characters with complete life stories, astrological charts, and distinctive handwriting. Pessoa didn't simply write as these characters, he allowed them to possess him, to think and feel through him. The Book of Disquiet itself underwent several transformations in authorship, initially attributed to Pessoa himself, then Vicente Guedes, finally finding its voice in Bernardo Soares, whom Pessoa described as a semi-heteronym, "me without my rationality and emotions." This fragmentation becomes not just a literary technique, but a philosophical position on consciousness itself. The book concludes with Soares remaining at his post, recording his consciousness and finding meaning in attention itself. "I'm nothing," he concludes. "I'll always be nothing. I can't even wish to be something. Apart from that, I have in me all the dreams of the world." In this paradox, nothingness containing everything, lies Pessoa's genius. By embracing his limitations and accepting his marginal existence, the assistant bookkeeper achieves an immortality that more accomplished figures might envy. Through elevating failure to art and transforming tedium into transcendence, he becomes what Pessoa himself has become, not merely a man, but a literature, a dream that continues to disquiet readers long after the dreamer has vanished. In our world that values productivity and achievement, the Book of Disquiet offers a radical alternative. It suggests the richest life might be one of perception rather than action, that in the quality of our attention, not our accomplishments, we find our deepest humanity. Through Soraz, we learn to see the extraordinary in the ordinary and discover in our limitations the seeds of transcendence.